Well, good morning, church. If you've got your Bibles or your Bible apps, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 6. We're going to be in Luke 6 this morning. My name is Brad. I get to be one of the pastors here at Community Church. We're glad you joined us this morning. Glad you're here to worship with us and to worship Jesus with us this morning. We're continuing in this series of sermons that we started a few weeks ago that we have named The Call. As we're looking at the call that Jesus is placing on his early disciples, the people who would first begin to follow him and really truly believe that he is who he says that he is. And it's the same call that's on our lives as well today. And we believe that one of the best things we can do this year is to take a long, hard look at Jesus. That's why we're spending so much time going through the book of Luke like this. We want to better understand the love that Jesus has for us and the love that he wants us to put into action in the world. And so each week we open up the scriptures together to see what it is that God is calling us to, both as individuals and as a group, as a church community. This morning in Luke chapter 6, we're going to see two different encounters, two different incidents on two different days with Jesus and his disciples and a group of religious leaders called the Pharisees. And Luke puts these two encounters together for a reason. He puts these two things together on purpose because they both have to do with the Sabbath. Both of these encounters happen on the Sabbath. In the simplest terms, Sabbath is resting from our work in a regular rhythm as an act of worship to God. In its very simplest form, Sabbath is resting from our work in a regular rhythm as an act of worship. But Sabbath is misunderstood in Jesus' day, and in a lot of ways, it's still misunderstood today. A lot of us, if you've been around church, you might know this word Sabbath. You've probably heard this concept before in church. We may think that Sabbath is one of those things that God says in the Old Testament that we don't really have to do today. That it's okay to not. We might think that Sabbath is one of those things that's like, you should feel really guilty if you're not doing it right. You should feel really bad if you're not doing it correctly. Or maybe you think Sabbath is one of those things that's like for the super holy people. It's not for me. It's not for me. I got kids. It's not for me. I work really hard. Sabbath is for the people that are really holy. It's for people who are older than me or younger than me. Today, we're going to see what Jesus has to say about Sabbath, though. Because Sabbath is designed by God to be a benefit to us, not a burden. It's designed to be a gift to us, not a chore that we have to do each week. As I think through the difference between a gift and a chore, think of it this way. If you needed a new dining room table for your house, a gift would be a handcrafted heirloom table that has been in your family for generations. It's got story, it's got history. All the people you love have sat around this table and shared meals. And now it's going to be in your house, and you get to add to it. You get to add to the history of this table. That's a gift. A chore is when a delivery person drops off a stack of IKEA boxes on your front doorstep. With enough hard work, this will eventually turn into a dining room table. But that's a chore. That's not a gift. And Jesus is going to show us the difference this morning. So let's open up Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 1. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Get up and stand in front of everyone.' And so he got up and stood there. And then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it?' He looked around at them all and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. In Jesus' day, the first century Jews would practice the practice of observing the Sabbath. But the religious leaders, the Pharisees in this case, had confused God's law with their rules. And over time, they had piled on lots and lots and lots of rules about the Sabbath. There was almost an obsession with the Sabbath from these religious leaders. Dozens and dozens and dozens of rules about what constituted work and what you could not do on the Sabbath. And what was supposed to be a gift of rest to the people became a burden for them. It also became a way for them to show their outward holiness at how successful they could be at doing nothing one day a week. And so this passage opens up with Jesus and his disciples, and they're walking through a field, and they're eating the grain that they're picking off this field. And this is a picture of something that's actually commanded to the Israelites in the Old Testament, that God says, hey, when you harvest your fields, leave some on the edges, leave some extra on the margins, and let people walk through your fields and take some. It's a way to take care of the poor and the hungry in the community so that no one would have to go hungry. And so Jesus and his disciples are doing just that. They're walking through and they're eating. And any time in any of the Gospels that you see details given, it's important to look at what they're pointing us to. All the Gospel writers do it, but Luke does it almost to an extreme. There are things that seem really important, and he gives us no detail about it. And then there's things like this, where he describes moment by moment how they ate the grain. And it's like, why are you giving us these details? He's trying to get us to see something. What they're doing broke the rules that the Pharisees had for what you could do on the Sabbath. What he's describing was not permitted by the religious leaders. They're picking the grain, that's harvesting, that's considered work. They're crushing it, that's considered work. They're separating the part they don't want from the kernels, that's considered work. This whole process is considered processing food, which you weren't supposed to do on the Sabbath. That's four rule violations in one little snack for the disciples. There's no doubt, there's no denying that Jesus and his disciples were working on the Sabbath. Working by the Pharisees' definition. And the Pharisees are expecting Jesus to play by their rules. They're expecting him to honor their rules in the same way that he would honor the law of God. And so they're ready to catch him and expose him as a rule breaker. But they didn't pay attention to the scriptures. They weren't listening to what Jesus was saying. They weren't concentrating on the heart of God when it comes to the Sabbath. They saw Sabbath as something you could be successful at, something you could achieve, where God's heart intended Sabbath to be something you simply received and enjoyed. And so Jesus challenges the Pharisees. Jesus challenges the Pharisees in a very unique way. I like this side of Jesus. I mean, I like all the sides of Jesus, of course, but I particularly like this side of Jesus. This is not Hallmark card Jesus. I'm going to call this spicy Jesus. Because Jesus knows what will offend these guys. And he absolutely cuts to the core of the thing they had built their entire reputation on. He says to them, have you ever read the Bible? Their entire existence was based on being the experts in the room when it came to the Bible. He says, have you never read this story? I like this Jesus. He takes what they have built and he's not afraid to cut it off at the foundation. Jesus makes a claim here as well. He says, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And this is Jesus making a claim to be God. A lot of people will tell you, a lot of people like to say that Jesus never actually says that he is God. They say, read the Bible, Jesus never claims to be God. And that's just simply not true. If we look at it from a 21st century mindset, then yes, in the way that we would say it in 2024, maybe he didn't. But Jesus claims to be God over and over and over and over again in the Bible. This is one of those times. He says, the Son of Man, that's how he refers to himself, is the Lord of the Sabbath. Who created the Sabbath? God. So if he's Lord over it, what would that make him? God. Jesus says, this is my gift that I'm giving the people. Stop confusing. Stop piling on. Stop creating a burden out of something that's supposed to be good. Imagine someone's opening their birthday present that you've given them, and you're excited to see them open this present, and somebody else is sitting on the other side, and every time they tear the paper, the other person puts another layer of wrapping paper over it. And every time they keep wrapping it, and they can't ever get to the gift. This is what Jesus is pushing back against. This is what gets Jesus so angry. Jesus is angry at the Pharisees because they're confusing the people. They're deceiving the people. They're making what's supposed to be good really, really hard. But Jesus, for as upset as Jesus is at the Pharisees, he is not dismissing the Sabbath. He's not throwing out the Sabbath. He's not saying it doesn't matter, just do whatever you want. Pay no attention to what God says. It's okay to work and do whatever you want on the Sabbath. No, Jesus is giving a higher view, a biblical view of the Sabbath to the people. He's not ignoring the commandment. He's embodying it. In the second encounter with the man with the paralyzed hand, Jesus says the Sabbath is for doing good. It's for bringing life. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, and he knows that the Pharisees are sitting around for one reason. They want to see if he will heal on the Sabbath. They want to see what he will do. Will he actually heal on the Sabbath when we've said that that's work and so you can't do it? And Jesus, have you ever had a toddler and you tell them not to do something and then they look at you in the eye while they do it? This is spicy Jesus. Jesus says, oh, you don't want me to heal. Oh, okay. Hey, why don't you stand up? And you tell me if we should do this or not. And the Pharisees can't respond, and so he simply says, on the Sabbath, we should be doing good. It's not about what you're not doing. We should be bringing life. Jesus is fighting back against the oppressive religious stipulations that these people were under. He's trying to give them a better understanding of what God intends with the Sabbath. And I think we need a better understanding. We need a better theology of rest to understand what it is we're supposed to do with this gift. Because Sabbath comes from God. It comes from God. It's part of the Ten Commandments. It's meant to point us to God with our head and our heart and our hands. Turn with me to Exodus. Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8. This is where God is giving the Ten Commandments to the people through Moses. This is what God says. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We are made in the image of God. We're made in the image of God. We're made to be like God. And God, when he gives the commandments of Sabbath, he calls back to the creation narrative, where God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And God didn't rest on the seventh day because he was tired, because he was spent, because he had used up all his energy and his power creating the world and he needed to recharge. God rested as an example to us to follow. Rest is a blessing to us. It's a gift. Resting is not a sin. Rest is good. It's part of God's plan for you. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is teaching the people, and he's trying to get them to see the difference between following him and walking a different way. He says this, Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's plan for you is to have rest, to have a break from the heaviness that life wants to hang on your shoulders. Because life absolutely happens at us. Life happens to us quite a bit. And if we're responding to the call of Jesus and trying to follow him, we have to be diligent about not getting distracted and letting the demands of life take us away from the rest that God wants for us. Satan is working all the time to steal your rest, to get you distracted with busyness. Satan is not necessarily wanting you to stand up and renounce God and become overtly evil and corrupt. He's just as happy to have you just simply distracted, looking another way. Proud of how much you can accomplish. Proud of how you got so much done without stopping and resting. Proud of how busy you are. Yes, life demands a lot from us. Different times of life are busier than others. We're not always in complete control of our own schedules. Yes. And we have the responsibility to choose for ourselves to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy by truly resting in a regular rhythm. Because busyness is a choice. Busyness is a choice that we will all eventually be held accountable for. And when we're undisciplined in our rest, we become busy. And when we prioritize being busy over the rest that God wants for us, we're essentially telling God that we know better than He what's good for us. Rest is a command. It's a command that brings blessings. And if we believe that, then our actions will follow our belief. Rest is a matter of trust. Rest is a matter of trust. It's all down to trust when it comes to rest. Rest is a way for me to trust in God, for me to trust in what He says, to be reminded of my own limitations. And rest will come for every one of us, either by choice or by collapse. And we have the ability to choose whether we will rest out of obedience or we'll rest because we're burnt out. God tells us rest is good for us. He commands us to do it. And if we trust Him, then we'll do the thing that He says is good for us. But if we think we know better than God, then we'll ignore what He says. We'll defy the commandment. In our culture, resting is not easy. It's not easy to stop in our culture. Rest is a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual discipline. When we teach our spiritual disciplines class here, we spend half a session talking about rest. Just like giving financially, just like building a habit of prayer and Bible reading, resting in a regular rhythm as an act of worship is a pathway to blessing. But it usually doesn't seem worthwhile until we're on that pathway and we're walking. No discipline is ever fun until you understand where it's taking you. But the discipline of rest, the spiritual discipline of resting in the way God wants us to, is building Christ-likeness. It's building faithfulness at every step, transforming us into the very image of God. Rest is a matter of trust. So, what are we supposed to do when we engage in Sabbath rest? If it's not about what we don't do, what are we supposed to do? Sabbath rest is more than just passively doing nothing. It's more than just sleeping. It's more than sitting in front of the TV mindlessly. Rest is much more than that. It may be that you need to sleep. It may be that you just need to take a nap. One of the best things someone ever said to me, a person I really respected, looked at me and looked at how much I was going and going and going and not stopping, working too much, and he simply said, "You're not God, take a nap." It's brilliant advice. But I think God has something better for you than just catching up on all the sleep you've missed in the last 6 days. When it comes to Sabbath, God has something more for you than just that. Sabbath rest is not universally defined. There's not one thing we all need to be doing. What is uniformly commanded is the heart posture, how we approach it, how we approach God, how we approach trusting Him and giving up time to rest. What's unique to the person is how that gets expressed. It doesn't have to be legalistic. What's restful to you? What brings you life? What fills you up? If you spend 6 days pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, what sorts of activities, what sorts of things fill you back up? Could be any sort of thing. For some people, it's something like gardening. Getting out and getting your hands dirty brings you life. It fills you up. For some people, that sounds like work. That's a chore. It's not universally defined. For some people, it's something like hiking, getting out in the woods, getting out in nature. For some people, that sounds like a chore. It's not universally defined. I'm resisting the urge to kind of give you a bunch of options, give you a bunch of list of things, because I think you know what brings you life. I think you know what sorts of things are restful to you. I think we know this about ourselves. I think what you might need is permission to waste time with God. We need to waste time with God. Our culture is obsessed with productivity. We're obsessed with doing more and doing more and doing more and doing more. Couldn't you squeeze more out of that? Couldn't you accomplish more? Why don't you listen to this while you're doing this? Why don't you make these calls while you're in the car? Do more productivity. We're obsessed with comparison. Look what they're doing. Look what they're able to accomplish. Look what their family's doing. We're obsessed with doing more and doing more. And you might just need permission to do something unproductive. To do something that the world would say, that's wasting time. But it's wasting time with God. It's not about doing any one thing. It's not about us all doing the same thing. It's about turning off the work that we do 6 days a week and spending time, wasting time with the good things that God has given us. If your only definition of Sabbath is a 24-hour period where you do nothing, you may need to open up that gift a little more fully. I'm going to challenge you. It's more than that. It's better than just doing nothing. What does Jesus say? The Sabbath is for doing good. It's for bringing life. Anything that is a rest, anything that is a break from what you give your work energy to in the rest of the week, that can be your Sabbath rest. And it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. If you're a stay-at-home parent, my goodness, you are working harder than most of us. You need a rest. You need a break. If you're retired, you're giving your energy and your effort somewhere. You need rest. You need a break as well. God is calling each one of us into a better life, into a full and balanced way of living. Jesus wants life for us to be fresh. David, King David in the Old Testament, gives us a picture of what this life with God looks like. This is what David writes in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Would you like to be able to enjoy that kind of a life? Are you interested in living that way? The king is calling. The king is calling you into that kind of a life. And the call is not to add one more thing to your list of things to do that will eventually drop by the wayside and then you'll feel guilty about not Sabbathing right. No, the call is to just stop. Just stop. As an act of worship, waste some time with God. Waste some time with God in a regular rhythm. Trust that giving up time somewhere else to spend time doing what God has made you to do is going to be worth it in the end. Because we should all want the gift of Sabbath and not be burdened by it. I'm going to give you a few minutes now, a few moments to pause and to take some time with God. This is not meant to be a substitute Sabbath. These next 90 seconds don't count. But I want to give you some moments to reflect and to ask God something. Jennifer's going to just play for a little bit. And then in a few moments, the worship team's going to come out. They're going to lead us through a song. And you can just sit and receive when they sing this song. But I want to ask you to ask God in this time now to show you what he wants you in particular to do with your Sabbath rest. Ask him to show you his good gift of Sabbath and how that might be made real in your life this week.